I'm Grace Petrie, and you're listening to Thank Folk for Feminism.
Hi, I'm Lucy.
And I'm Pinky.
And this is Thank Folk for Feminism. We're here. We're back, finally finishing what we said we would start a year ago, which is series two of your favourite rad podcast, where we celebrate the music of women and non-men folk and just have a good old natter, really. How are you doing, Pinky?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. It's been full on and frantic, as you well know, which, of course, is the reason why series two has taken such a long time to get out there. But yeah, I think good kind of frantic, right? The world has opened up, gigs are happening, live music is back on the agenda, and that just feels joyous and wonderful.
Yeah, it definitely does. So I hope you guys have been all right in our absence. I mean, not that you need us to be all right, but you get me drift. We hope you've been doing well. And the good and the sad thing about feminism is it's a perennial conversation topic. It can keep coming back up and up and up and up and up again, year after year, with new flavours to discuss. But we're super, super excited to share with you a series of interviews that we recorded at Shrewsbury Folk Festival last year, and we're putting them out in time that you might be able to grab your tickets for this year's fabulous event. So to kick off this new bunch of episodes, we are talking to a fabulous band hailing from across North America. They were reared in diverse musical styles. And I have to say, I've taken this part of the introduction directly off their website because I don't think that I could say it better. Della May's mission as a band is to showcase top female musicians and to improve opportunities for women and girls through advocacy, mentorship, programming, and performance. I mean, couldn't have said it better, right? Couldn't have said it better.
Yeah, absolutely. And fangirl moment. I think Della May, one of the bands when we first started this podcast that I said to Lucy, we need to speak to them. If there is a group of women that we need to get hold of and have conversations with, it is Della May. You know, even down to their name being taken from a song, which is just so disparaging about women and their roles in society. They are absolute catalysts for change, and this conversation just brought me so much joy.
We are here at Shrewsbury Folk Festival. We've found a cosy corner and we are joined by the fabulously epic, talented, powerhouse people that are Della May. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're so welcome.
I wonder if you could take a moment just to introduce yourself so the listeners can know whose voices we're listening to.
Sure, I'm Avriel Smith and I play guitar in Della May.
I'm Kimber Ludeker and I'm the fiddler.
I'm Celia Woodsmith. I play the washboard and guitar and I sing.
I'm Vicky Vaughn and I play the bass.
It's so amazing to have you folks here. And you are the first international act that we have interviewed on Thank Folk for Feminism. So I think you'll have so many points of views and perspectives that we just haven't explored yet. So let's just start with the big stuff, shall we? Let's start with the big stuff. And, you know, as a band of all women, do you sometimes feel that you ever get typecast? People have an expectation of what noises you're going to make when you walk out on stage, and how do you experience that and how do you rally against that?
Yeah, I do. I feel like we get typecast quite a bit, and a lot of people will come up to you after. I mean, it doesn't happen as much now, but you know, wow, I didn't expect you guys would be so good, or I didn't expect I would like this music. And I think people think that we're going to be a little bit more tender, a little bit more precious, when in fact I'd say we're pretty rock and roll. And you know, I mean, there's a lot of energy that's going on there. I think another thing that happens quite a bit is that festivals don't really hire several all-female bands. They kind of end up choosing one, and it's just funny when you juxtapose that with how many times all-male bands are hired and put, you know, one after the other in lineups. we often find that we're normally the only all-lady band in a lineup, and we just don't get put near any other lady bands. So there is an expectation of what we're going to sound like, for sure.
Mm. And how much of that the audience would like to listen to you say, yeah. rightly say.
Yeah.
You know, can often be one in a lineup. We just watched your set, and I was just blown away by the authenticity and the joy that emanates from your performance. It's captivating, and obviously you are clearly all talented musicians, writers, but it's that shared energy on stage that I think in that live setting was just particularly captivating to me.
Yeah, and I guess there's, you know, we were reflecting as we were talking, weren't we, about that, you know, often the folk scene or the folk festival is, like, it's quite some downbeat. Women are expected to sing the kind of minor key downcast ballads, mm-hmm. and you don't do that. Do you yeah. feel like that's a very deliberate choice?
I don't know. I think, you know, we think about our sets mostly as we play what we want to play, you know, and it has kind of fluctuated and, you know, and it's evolved, I guess, over the 12 years that we've been a band. And we've done a little bit of everything, which, you know, not everything.
Death metal is yet to be explored.
I think yeah. we think a lot about mood in a set. Like, there are, you know, songs that are really up and energetic, and there are songs that are more pensive, there are instrumentals, and so having a mix and not having, you know, the up moments last too long, but, you know, having it be more of a journey than that has an arc and peaks and valleys, kind of.
As far as the singing songs go, I don't think that we choose a song based on, oh, this is super kick-ass, this has like big belty vocals, so we're gonna do that. We just gravitate, Celia and I really gravitate towards just songs that we like, and the majority of them happen to be pretty belty and boisterous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, powerful, powerful things. One thing that was really clear watching your set and listening to your records and back catalogue is you were saying just then about song choices for him, what you gravitate towards. Mm. It seems from listening that you gravitate towards sharing the songs of women and sharing the stories and the narrative and uplifting those voices. I mean, I assume that's a deliberate choice, or do you think that just we naturally gravitate towards the stories that we feel kind of connect with us?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very deliberate choice. I mean, we've been performing together for 12 years and we are women, so to me there's no other choice but to share the stories that I've experienced, to share the stories that my mother has experienced, our sisters, are, you know, like, there's so much to pull from. And I think there's, unfortunately, because bluegrass is so male-centric, there are so many songs that are from the perspective of a man, and we really just don't need to add to that. It's been done.
There's nothing left to say.
Yeah, there's really, that's it, you know.
I quite like the juxtaposition of you sharing that point while people can probably hear in the background lots yeah. of men singing very
yes.
boisterously.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, Aberline.
I was just going to say, we were laughing in the band today about how many songs there are about men complaining about how their woman done them wrong. And in bluegrass especially, like, there's so much violence in bluegrass, and often the story is like a man who is in jail for killing his wife and like complaining about it. Like complaining about how badly she treated him, and now he has this terrible life in prison. It's like,
mm-hmm. yeah. What's the other side of the story?
I know,
yes. like, yes. female perspective.
I'm yeah. sure I feel sorry for.
What
you.
Exactly
yeah. do you do in this instance?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I've been recently. I'm running a kids bluegrass program with IBMA, the International Bluegrass Music Association, and I've been diving into some lyrics because, you know, we do this kids program where they want to pick songs to play with the band and play on stage. And somebody was like, I want to do this song called Little Maggie, for instance, and I kind of reread through, in my back of my hand, I was like, that's on my list of songs that I just, for whatever reason, do not listen to or play. And I revisited the lyrics, and it's basically like, there's this guy, and his girl is now interested in somebody else, and then he sings about how she like turns to drinking and playing the banjo, and you know, but then the worst, and then she loses work. And then she loses all of, yeah, she loses all of her money, and then he's basically like down on her for turning to sex work, and that, and then at the end he's like, you know, but she was always meant to be mine. And it's just like, you know, you have to really
start with the problems.
Yeah, so, and many. You know, it's problematic, and a lot of the traditional music is like that, and people get into these big arguments of, you know, well, it's tradition, or you got to take it with a grain of salt, or a lot of these are cautionary tales of, and I think it's time that we're, you know, we're like, there are a lot of great songs that are in the tradition to carry forward, and it's time to leave some of those tropes behind.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But I guess there's a risk that comes with that, isn't there? I think I was reflecting that, you know, your songs are at times often quite political, you know, Headlight being a reflection of the issues in the States around Christina Blasey Ford, mm-hmm. you know, and also thinking about what the Dixie Chicks experienced on stage when they spoke out. And I guess I'm thinking about the political moment in the States right now and how that's another like big potential speak out moment and a moment to speak power to truth. Or truth to power, even, would be a better way to say it. You know, but do you kind of sit back and have to make conscious decisions about when you will and won't speak based on those issues?
Absolutely. Yeah, there are some places. I mean, honestly, I've learned a lot from the women in this band. I agonize over when to play songs, if we, you know, like, what are people gonna think, how is it gonna go over, and it's kind of part of like a self-care thing when we're like, you know what, in this crowd right now, I'm not sure that we feel like completely safe playing Headlight. And you know, like, it, you know, we've seen people leave during these songs, and it feels really bad on stage, and you feel less safe. You know, you're singing a song about how we should believe survivors of abuse, and people leave. You know, you're like, oh, awesome, okay. So, I mean, it is part of like a self-care thing where you're like, you know what, we can put on a great show without some of these things in them, and today might be that night. And it's a lot of energy and an expenditure of emotion on stage to sing these songs, and sometimes towards the end of a set, I think we're honestly too exhausted to put that out there. So we've been a little bit more careful about the energy that we're putting out, when and where we're putting it out. And I think it's really good for us because we could have a lot of heavy songs and a lot of heavy sets. Mm-hmm. But kind of something you brought up earlier, a lot of the thing about Delamay is our joy. And I don't want to, you know, I want to be able to control when we talk about stuff, when it, at a moment that we feel like we can. Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny you say that because I always find, like, Boston Town is a very serious song.
Yeah.
But actually I find it really joyful. Like, it's a rally call, you know, it's a rebellious type. And I guess there's also that element to draw out, isn't there, that sometimes you can kind of, you can do both. You can fuse that politics
100%.
With the joy.
Right.
Sometimes that's the best way to get it through, actually, isn't it? Sometimes people are ready to listen, but often we're at a festival, in festival settings, there can be this unwritten law that it must be uplifting because we're in a field, and then we have to go out in the world, and this is where we, you know, revive ourselves. And I don't know, I love misery, more misery always. quite frankly, upbeat, not my thing, no.
Yeah.
That's why you're an English folk artist.
That's why I'm an English folk singer indeed. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to quickly say back to what you were saying, Kimmer, about, you know, the violence in the tradition of bluegrass, and we certainly have that issue in British folk music as well. And this thing about it being insipid, right? You know, people sit in sessions and sing arounds, and they share these songs without even thinking, without even thinking about the stories and how they relate. And then I think, feel like, you know, often women, or essentially any person who identifies as not male, have grown up singing songs that are actually, you know, really anti the experience we want to walk in the world, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose it's this thing of, like you say, it's got to be really, we've got to be mindful about what songs we want the next generation to take forward.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
yeah, I'm a main sense. And I know you folks work a lot with young people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Like, do you think there is a new generation coming that are ready to kick those old songs into tow?
I mean, I think so. The argument is like, we're going to lose our tradition, mm-hmm. right? And that's a huge part of it. But again, I feel like there's so much music that will happen in the future that we are making space for. And I think the way that you have room for all of the music is by choosing the greatest parts of every generation of music. Like, that won't be lost. It's just that now we're more mindful and we are coming to terms with the fact that things aren't okay all the time, and it's not really okay to just sort of not think about lyrics and not think about the impact that they're having on people. And all of these, as a woman musician playing in these bands with all these guys that are just like shaming women, they don't think they are, they're singing a song, but in reality, like, I especially this case with, mentoring kids, I don't want a band full of kids, like, singing the song and there are two girls in the band and they're just, chugging along. Like, we just, need to find teachable moments. And it's not like, people really, especially in the United States, I'm not sure how it is here, with cancel culture. It's like this whole thing of, like, you have one thing to say about something and then all of a sudden all these conclusions are drawn of, like, you're trying to cancel this. You guys are liberal, feminists who hate men. Mm-hmm. You're man-haters. And it's, like, it's ridiculous,
But it's also that complexity, isn't it? Like, we say tradition as if tradition is always a good thing, and I think tradition is always used as shorthand for it upholds the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't name many traditions where I actually think they are good for women.
I never thought of that before, but I think you might be right about
shorthand.
That.
Yeah. So we don't want to mess with it on that basis. But as you say, then you end up with, we'll all go and dance and see a band where they're singing, mm-hmm. pretty horrific songs.
Yeah.
Because what else do you do? Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah. We're stuck with it.
And often as well, even if you take away it's just this notion that tradition always was and never changed and never evolved before. Like, what are we preserving? And like, it's a living being. It's more than us. It has mm-hmm. to roll on, and it always did. Like, it's just, I find it strange that people get het up about it. Like there is anything to lose. Like, it's just all to gain, mm-hmm. all to gain.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess presumably in terms of the band choice and the name choice, Della May, that's a subtle nudge, right, to that rebellion,
because she's
the song
one of,
it comes from.
Yeah, she's one of the women who done her man wrong, and I was just looking at your hammer tattoo, and like that is a Della May tattoo, right, because like he's going to get her with his big spike hammer, like a railroad hammer. That's not a railroad hammer, but
No, it's a feminist.
Yeah, see?
English suffragette hammer.
And that's
so
like,
we can break some windows.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like, that's exactly kind of what we were trying to do, is like spin that tale on its head and turn Della May into somebody who is speaking out. That's the intention.
And an intention that works, I think. Like, you can see that through everything.
Oh, without a doubt. I think I think people watching you on stage couldn't help but, question, and I mean this in the best of ways, question how we uplift those traditional values, how we change the narratives, as you said. So we've talked about being mindful. We have this question here of, do you have any advice to the female musicians of the future? Where do they start? How do they find the most authentic voice? You mentioned that bluegrass is, really male-dominated scene. How do they do it? What do they learn from your own experience of pushing through and becoming internationally acclaimed artists?
I mean, the first thing I always say is that you just have to keep going. You have to keep pushing. I can't tell you how many times every single one of us has had, some man kind of, you get steamrolled all the time. People don't want to listen to you. People talk over you. It's just, that's what's going to happen. But you have to be secure in what you want you know, what you know about, you know, your instrument, your voice, your gear, you know, like you have to be like, no, this is what it is. And there's a way of just being, you know, strong and decisive, and you know, you really just have to say what you want, and sometimes you have to say it many times, but just keep doing it. You know, you really just have to keep going. I'm sure we've all almost given up many times, but here we are. We've just pushed through. Another just little tip that I often tell, you know, people, especially songwriters, is that the best way to connect with people is just with stories. It's not with, you know, big sentiments about something. You know, you can connect with people just by sharing a story, a very simple story, an emotional, you know, connection that you can make with people. And yeah, I think we get too caught up in big ideas. And when you really focus things down, that's when you can start to find common ground with people. Because, you know, what father wants their daughter to be abused? You know, and even if they're the most, you know, I'm speaking in American terms, but like right-wing type of person, he doesn't want that to happen to his wife, his mother, his daughter. You know, how do you connect with people? You zoom the lens way in. And I think that's what we try to do. I mean, honestly, part of how we operate on stage is we get people to like us. And I mean, you know, maybe that's a crass thing to say right now, but if you feel kinship with us by the fact that we are open, we're smiling, we're happy, we say funny things on stage, we say awkward things on stage, if we get you to like us, you know, then you might take what we have to say with a little bit more seriousness, with a little bit more thought. I think that's a really big thing about who we are and how we deliver songs.
Another piece of advice I always give people too is that, you know, much like feminism throughout the years, like we're all doing whatever we can to make this place better for future generations. So it might not be perfect for you, but we're doing the work, and hopefully, you know, as generations go by, the hope is that it'll be better. It'll continue to be better.
Yeah, have hope.
Have hope. It's a really beautiful way to round up this interview, I think. Have hope. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Della May. You've been tremendous, and we really appreciate you lending your voices and your experiences to Thank Vote for Feminism. We know our listeners are going to just be blown away by the honesty and vulnerability that you've shared. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed listening to that interview with Della May. And we also hope that you had a laugh when we could hear all of the Morris dancers angrily shouting outside, not at us, you know, in their dance, but we thought it was kind of good timing and a hilarious juxtaposition of the conversation we were having and archetypal stereotypes in folk music. So if you want to find out more about this Grammy nominated tremendous band of musicians / humans, you can visit DellaMae.com. That's DellaMae.com.
And the other thing to flag, of course, is if, like us, you are absolutely dying to get out there and experience some live folk music, earlier in the year we collaborated with Cecil Sharp House to bring the first ever Thank Folk for Feminism Folk Club, which is just an absolutely joyous event, bringing everything that Lucy and I wanted to have together in the space of one room. The next event takes place on the 13th of September, and we've got an absolute corker of a lineup for you. We've managed to blag none other than Nancy Kerr, Angeline Morrison, and Frankie Armstrong to come and join us and celebrate all things folk music. So please do check out the Cecil Sharp House website to get your tickets. And if you can't be there in person, we were obviously always really clear that we wanted to make these shows as accessible as possible. So you can join us live to your living room via the wonderful crew that run their online gig. So visit Live to Your Living Room to check out how you can get your online viewing pass.
All right, take care, stay rad.
This podcast was a Betty Beetroot production.